you doing rattling around this big house?
Well, I assure you, I'm married to a man, a human one.
One. What's it mean?
Unusual couple.
Oh, I don't think that was ever in question.
We just don't know what to expect.
Howdy, neighbors.
Hey, bud.
Wanda, what's up?
Who are you?
I don't know.
Something's wrong here.
Wanda, can you hear me? Who's doing this to you?
Are you here to help us?
This is our home.
Then let's fight for it.
Well, I think we handled that well.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the MCU Diaries. It's a podcast dedicated to every Marvel Studios series on Disney+. So sit back, relax, and let's break down Earth's mightiest heroes. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Blake Larson. We are doing the season one wrap of WandaVision, and I have a very special surprise, one that I was not anticipating, one that I was hoping I would get, and that is my beautiful bride.
I love how you were like, weren't anticipating upon it, but we're in the midst still of a pandemic, and I can't go anywhere.
Well, who are you?
I'm Mary. I'm your wife.
Yes. For those of you who have been listening to the MCU Diaries, and if you're not an avid Mary and Blake listener, Mary is my partner. Most importantly, like I said, she is my beautiful bride. She is joining us today, and I'm super excited about it because, as you all know, I'm a huge Marvel dork. And when I speak about it, whenever I write about it, as you guys have listened to, you know, we dive pretty deep into some real Marvel dork lore and a lot of the comic stuff, a lot of the MCU stuff. We're fully in depth. Mary, however, while she does really like the MCU, she watches the films with me. As a matter of fact, last night the Snyder Cut came out, and she sat and watched all 4 hours. Even though it's not Marvel, it's DC, but she did sit down and watch all four hours with me in one shot. She's here today, and she's going to give us a little bit more of a layman's perspective, I would say, on the MCU and Marvel.
A clueless perspective.
I mean,
I know some things.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And that's why it's important. That's why it's important that you're here. I'm so happy as Allie here says, Mary gets to ground the dorkiness a bit.
Bring it on down.
So this episode is going to be very different, ladies and gents. Normally it is just me talking at you. This episode will be more of a conversation between Mary and I, as well as all of the listeners and watchers who are joining us live at this moment while we're recording us on the various social media platforms. This conversation is going to include their comments and their thoughts as well, at the right time, at the most appropriate time for those conversations. And we have some emails, and we have some questions that have been sent in to us, Mary, as well. We'll go over those too. Is there anything you want to talk about before we get into this episode? Anything you want to say, Marvin, about your Marvel history or your just an introduction to the MCU Diaries listeners?
Previous to the movies that came out within this last century, because, you know, we're in a century now.
Yes.
I was a DC girl.
Yeah, you were. Okay. Who was your favorite DC character? That's the question.
Batman.
Batman. Okay. Yeah.
I like Batman in the sense that I think he would win, but who would be my friend? would be Superman.
Of course you would, because you guys are both dorks.
Yeah, he's Toad's Gryffindor.
Who's your favorite Marvel character? Thinking X-Men and Fantastic Four, or you know, any
Fantastic
one of the
Four.
Yeah, or any one of the
X-Men,
MCU.
Talk
people,
about baggage.
Iron Man, that whole Captain America. Who's your favorite MCU character?
Let's see. I think Captain America.
America's ass.
I did Captain America. Yeah, I think he's my solid one. Yeah. I think that
because he's like the equivalent to Superman. I mean, not in powers, but just like the dorkiness.
And I don't really yet count Guardians of the Galaxy as part of the MCU, even though I'm supposed to. I know I'm supposed to.
Yeah. Why do you not count them?
Just too flippin' many. I keep losing track of all their names. All I know
enough.
Is Groot.
Yeah, that's because he says it a million times.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't know.
Star-Lord, you know. I like Star-Lord,
but...
Whatevs.
I mean, I think it's just because I liked Parks and Rec, and I think it's still Andy. I think it's Andy in space.
It's Andy in space.
Right?
It's Johnny Karate in space. Yes, let's get that
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, you know, if you're going to ask me who would I want to hang out with, I'd want to hang out with Captain America.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Give me all the goody two shoes. Let's save the world. Yes, please.
So I wanted to remind you guys that you can subscribe to this podcast. We will actually start covering The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I will start covering The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Perhaps maybe Mary will join me for at least one episode of the next season of the MCU Diaries. We'll
I don't
see.
Even know who the Winter Soldier is. Is that the...
That's Bucky, the guy with the metal
arm. The new Captain America?
No, that's the Falcon.
Oh, the emo guy.
Yeah, the emo guy.
The one that Captain America's friend who's emo.
Yes, that's his best friend, Bucky.
Who needs to wash his hair.
Definitely got to wash his hair. Get rid of some of the eyeliner.
Like, he kind of looks like he'd smell, but not in a good way.
Ladies and gents, this is why Mary is on this podcast today. So we are going to be start to cover The Falcon and the Winter Soldier starting tomorrow, as a matter of fact, because it premieres tonight. We are doing this tonight.
We're doing a lot of things, man.
I know. So I'm very excited about that. Subscribe to us, and you can find us on maryandblake.com, where we have all of our great podcasts and blogs and all the other different shows that we cover, whether it is This Is Us that is happening right now, or Bridgerton, or Outlander, or Game of Thrones. We got a whole slew of podcasts. Don't want to miss out on that. And of course, the exclusive Facebook group. It's called the Mary and Blake Facebook group. It's free, it is fun, and it's where you get to be all kinds of nerd and talk about the things that you love. If it is WandaVision or The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or if it's something completely off of what we cover, let's talk about it, let's share it, let's have some fun.
Okay.
And let's do that, shall we?
We shall.
Marvin, you ready to get into the show?
I am,
all
for
right,
sure.
Let's do it. All right, Marvin, your first thoughts on WandaVision. And you know what? We normally do things by rating in Mary and Blake Media. We firmly believe in a 1 to 5 rating, where for 1 being the worst, or 5 being tremendous, loved it, can't get enough, wanted in my veins, good. And you know, we usually have a category that we rate these things by, you know, for Outlander, it's kilts, for This Is Us, it's lemonades. I'm thinking we should do Infinity Stones for WandaVision.
Okay.
How many Infinity Stones are you giving WandaVision this season as a whole, Marvin?
I'll give it a 3.95.
Wow. That is low for Mary. Because Mary is a notorious 5 giver.
Yep.
I would love to hear your thoughts on why this is a 3.95. Did you say?
3.95.
How are we giving?
Aren't we going to get then to that in the GBGs?
I mean, I suppose so. But what's a teaser? What's a professional tease that you got?
I don't like anybody.
Okay, I'm going to give this one a 4.85.
Which is like your 5.
Pretty much. I really, really, really loved WandaVision. I loved the weirdness of it. I loved that it was what it wanted to be. and it gave no apologies for what it was. But there are some things that hold it back, and we'll get into that in our GBGs. And the GBG is the good, the bad, and the great. And I will start off, Mary. How's that sound?
Okay.
I will start off with the good, the bad, the great, the GBG. The good for me is Elizabeth Olsen. Elizabeth Olsen.
Who's she?
Marvin, come on. That's the Scarlet Witch. That's Wanda.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't laugh at me.
I'm not like podcasting about it every single week.
Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen. Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah. The Olsen twin sister.
Yes. Okay.
So awkward.
So,
I mean, for real.
It was a tad awkward because, you know, they were emulating, you know,
Full House. And she's Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen's sister.
Yes. Elizabeth Olsen was really good in this series, and it showed why they use this as the flagship show for the MCU. And I know the Falcon and the Winter Soldier was supposed to come out first, but because of COVID and everything, they had to delay it. But I'm very happy that they chose to just say, okay, we're going with WandaVision, and that's that, because she held this whole series together, and the way that she acts, it totally recontextualizes everything I ever see whenever I watch her now in the MCU. It changes all of it for me.
Cool.
The bad for me, and why I think I bring this down to a 4.85, is because of the MCU connectivity. The stuff with S.W.O.R.D. and Jimmy Woo and Dr. Darcy and even Monica Rambeau, it was not good. It really wanted to be good. Yeah, like Rambo. Not John Rambo. Okay. it wanted to be good, and I think they did the best that they could for the most part, but the MCU connectivity of it all, outside of what the specific relationships Wanda has, was really bad. Okay. In my opinion. But the great for me is the functional weirdness of this show. And what I really like about it is...
I like that. The functional weirdness.
Yes. And
it's like Bridgerton's dukish rakishness.
Yes, exactly. For those of you who are wondering, Mary is doing a Bridgerton, The Duke and I book club at jointhenerdclan.com. You don't want to miss on that. What's most important, I think, in a show outside of its characters and outside of the direction is setting. And this show has a very unique setting. Not that it's a suburban, you know, New Jersey, Westview town. That's not very unique. What it is, though, is the setup of this town and how the world was created through Wanda's eyes. And that is, you know, looking at this world through the lens of classic television. And that is memorable. That is a character in and of itself. That is what sets the stage for the functional weirdness that we just talked about. All the things that are happening in this show, that makes it really memorable. Outside of, like, I guarantee you, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you're going to have no idea where it takes place. And okay. You're going to, because it's not going to be as important. Mm-hmm. Whereas the setting for this show was, it's tied right to the DNA of its functionality. So because of that, it's unique and it's remarkable and it is unforgettable. And that is why, that's what I think is great about it. So, that is that. Marvin, you're good, you're bad, and you're great.
My good. Who run the world?
Girls.
That's right. Whereas so much of the MCU is like guy, 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 guy. And when they do get girls, it's like schnooze fest.
Why, you're not a fan of Black Widow?
Schnooze fest. Seriously. Like we just rewatched Avengers.
Yes.
And like her plot line is like the worst, bruh. Honestly.
So you're giving her a one?
She gets a one. Her plot, her character gets a one.
Well, she gets better, I think, as the MCU goes along.
Not in the initial movie.
I would agree that, especially in her introduction in Iron Man 2, as you know, when she was like, she played as Tony's assistant in Iron Man 2. Yeah, not great, Bob.
No. So I was just really happy that there was so much focus on the female characters and the female villain and all this. I don't know. Just just everybody who kicks butt in this show is a girl.
Yes.
And I dig that.
Yep.
My bad. I really don't care about anybody. Like, when the boys died, pass the popcorn, okay? I'm bored.
Really? When Wanda's kids are away?
You were sobbing.
I was sobbing.
She was like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, these kids are imaginary, right?
They're fake, Blake.
She just made... I'm bored.
Oh, that's funny.
It's not that I don't have feelings, because I do have feelings.
Or appreciation.
I promise. But I just don't care who lives. I don't care who dies. I don't care about anybody. And this is actually my main problem that I have with The Mandalorian as well. Mm-hmm. Another beautiful show.
Yes.
Another well thought out show. I don't care about anybody except Baby Yoda, the child.
Yes, Grogu.
Yeah, Grogu. That name.
Just keep calling him Baby Yoda. It's fine.
Honestly, like, that name is just not cute.
Well, neither is Yoda.
But I don't care about anybody. I actually care about the villain because I think she's cool. I think she's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't care that she died.
Okay, fair enough.
I just don't care about
so
anybody.
Do you not care about Wanda either?
No.
Really?
No.
How come?
Why should I care about her? I didn't care about her in any of the other movies. I didn't care about her in Vision. I think it's really freaking weird. You're in love with a robot.
Well, I agree with you outside of this series.
Yeah. So if I was supposed to play on my connection with Wanda because of the previous movies, I got nothing for you.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think, well, I mean, you know what? We'll get into that in a little bit. I want to hear your grade.
Needs some therapy.
I want.
Okay.
Sure,
you're in love. Get a vibrator.
Oh my God, Mary!
Doesn't look like it.
Vision have an attachment. Oh my God. Oh man, that's my girl. That's my bride.
And my grade is thought it was really creative.
Okay, good. Fair enough.
There you go.
What about it was most creative for you?
Just the different era and different style show every episode. I had no clue what was going on. I didn't really care about anybody. I didn't care about anything, but I was like, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch this for a half hour.
Yep. Fair enough.
Oh, kids died. Whatevs.
Kids died.
There weren't real kids.
All right. So let's get into their relationship a little bit here. And I think it's important that we do that because you said you didn't care. And based off of the previous movies, I actually kind of agree with you, Mary. Like, their relationship as it was established in Captain America Civil War, it just kind of happens. It just happens because
she's very lonely.
Yes.
And is like, Vision, what appendages did they make for you? I don't know.
I'm genuinely interested. No, but I think this...
She needed like a support dog.
I think this series...
Not a Vision.
I think this series helps give context to why they fell in love. Because he was...
That wasn't him.
Yes, but what I'm saying is...
It gives
is,
no context no, to no, why no, they no, fell
no,
in
no,
love.
No, it does.
It gives context to like her little made-up world.
But if you remember in the penultimate episode when they have all the flashbacks and when Wanda is watching Malcolm in the Middle and the house falls on, you know, Bryan Cranston or whatever, and Vision is with her and they're watching it, that's really Vision, right?
Yes.
Like, that's really their relationship. That takes place right after Avengers Age of Ultron, after Pietro dies, mm-hmm. right? So it does give context to their relationship and how they kind of started to fall in love, because he was the one saying, I was created from nothing. I'm not attached to anybody. I've never had loss. And she is saying, all I want is someone. All I want is to be connected to my brother, and he's not here. He's dead. And she sees, and they both see that the answer for both of them is right in front of each other.
What was that weird movie where the guy fell in love with Siri?
Oh, that's funny. Also starring Scarlett Johansson, by the way, her.
Yeah, you know when you like had a crush on somebody in high school or college or you know, adult life, whenever, and you just play out the scenario in your head where you're like, oh, remember that day when we had that project together? And then you just keep playing on it and you make up imaginary situations. I know you did. I know everybody did.
Sure.
And you kind of imagine things. That's Wanda. Like, I watch this and I'm like, she needs a puppy.
Yeah, so many puppies, so much therapy sessions. Like, she needs them all. All the therapy.
Like, she made Vision. That wasn't real Vision.
No, but
it was like a blow-up doll.
No, it was more functional than a blow-up doll.
No, it wasn't.
As she says, that he, whatever he was a part of the Mind Stone that exists in her. And he was the representation of her love and her hope and her loss and her anger and her fear and her sadness.
I watched some weird documentary on people who have dolls. Okay? They would probably say the same thing.
What are you talking about? What documentary is this?
Listen, man, sometimes you go to sleep and I watch weird stuff.
You go down the rabbit hole.
After Don't F with Cats on Netflix, I found some really weird documentaries.
Oh, man.
I don't know. One, just emotionally unstable, okay?
Yes.
Clearly.
Yes.
And because Vision wasn't really Vision, and because the kids weren't really kids, I just don't care. I don't know why Wanda was even left to walk around and why she wasn't given appropriate therapy services by...
Well, that goes to show you...
Whoever, like who's supposed to do it?
Well, I mean, she gets, you know, dusted in the blip, or she gets dusted, and...
Dusted?
Yeah, like when Thanos snaps his fingers, she goes away. She gets dusted.
Okay.
But then in Endgame, she comes back, right?
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
You know, Tony snaps his fingers and the whole thing.
Yeah.
So everybody comes back.
Okay.
And shortly thereafter, you're seeing...
I didn't even know she disappeared because I didn't even care about her then.
thereafter...
I don't care if people live or die.
Shortly thereafter, you know, she's going to see what the hell happened to Vision. And, you know, he's taken apart and the whole thing. This story takes place shortly thereafter the events of Avengers Endgame.
Are you sure you want to be on this show?
Absolutely, because this is the point. This is the layman's perspective, which is why I wanted you on. Absolutely. Allie says, I can't imagine Vision getting passionate either. She fell in love for a companion, which is maybe just what she needed. What do you think about that?
Yes.
Yes. A companion, certainly.
Like, and I just love how everybody's cool with it. Like, they're like, oh yeah, Wanda and Vision, they're a thing. Nobody's sitting there being like,
hey, how does that work?
She knows he's a robot, right? Like, I love my Dodge Durango.
But you don't like it that much.
But I'm not marrying it.
It's never mind, I can't say that. What do you think of Agatha Harkness? Let's get into that.
Okay.
Catherine Hahn.
Now we're here to play.
Yeah. Catherine Hahn as Agatha Harkness.
Now she's dead.
And what? No, she's not dead. She's not dead. She's just been transformed. Which means, remember at the end of the series, you know, Wanda walks up in her Scarlet Witch outfit.
Yep.
And she goes to Agatha Harkness and she says, I'm just going to keep you here. Like, she says, oh, Agatha asks her, are you going to put me in prison? She says, no, I'm just going to keep you here, but you're going to be the nosy neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that's going to be. And she turns her into
the nosy neighbor
again, which to me screams that Catherine Hahn is going to be back.
Agreed.
At some point, whether it is in perhaps a future season of WandaVision, which they are having talks about that, or maybe she appears in a movie. Maybe it's even Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is what Wanda will be starring in, along with Doctor Strange and Benedict Cumberbatch. They'll be starring together in that film. So, and that film is going
to
be bananas.
I'll be down with that. I would like to see Agatha and Benedict Cumberbatch go at it.
Yeah, I think because Agatha, as we have talked about in the MCU Diaries, at least in the comics, serves a little bit as a tutor and as a teacher and somewhat of an ally to Wanda in the comics. So is there room for that to happen? You know, at the end of WandaVision, we see Wanda flipping through the Darkhold, the book of spells and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe she starts getting into this thing and she realizes, whoa, I'm This is like,
yeah,
this is trig. I'm not at trig yet. I'm still in algebra, you know, like
I need a TA.
Yeah. I think that, you know, perhaps Agatha could be the TA.
She could bippity boppity boo. Hey, yes. You're here for an hour. Teach me what this means. And then bippity boppity boo, you're back.
Rachel says she loves Agatha, Disney mm-hmm. villain for sure. Yes. Over the top and has a villain song even.
Yes.
Mary, tell me your thoughts about the villain song Agatha All Along, you know, and...
It's perfect.
And you're just your general thoughts. You said, okay, now you're ready to play for Agatha. So what exactly gets you all torqued up about her?
I mean, just first and foremost, the actress playing her was phenomenal. Yes. She was a highlight for me for every single episode. It was a nice twist. It was just a nice twist because we had these things going on where you were confused about the structure of WandaVision. You were confused about the structure of the television show itself in the first couple of episodes. And then we get the outsider perspective. Oh, my God. She took over the city. All this stuff's happening. How are we going to get Wanda out? Is that Vision? Is it, you know, all this stuff was going on. And then for there to be this just complete element of surprise mm-hmm. already inside was delicious.
Delicious. Yeah. Do you?
Because I find that like the MCU stuff, it's very predictable.
What did you find most predictable?
I didn't find Agatha predictable, and that's what I'm saying is okay. That usually, like watching these episodes, was very predictable for me. Like, okay, right. They're not gonna get in. Okay, she's gonna get mad. Like, I just knew how I was gonna feel at the end of each episode, and then when Agatha dropped. You were like, oh, I wasn't planning on this. Okay, sure. I'm here. I'm here to play. I like her.
The penultimate episode was an episode that, as we talked about in an earlier episode of the MCU Diaries, it was.
Can you say episode again?
Good point. It chose to look back as opposed to looking forward or building the momentum towards its finale. What did you think about that choice? Was that something when Agatha took Wanda back throughout her whole life and all the different traumas that she has gone through, whether it was the bomb landing in her family room with her family and she had to sit and wait for it to explode only for it to not explode, or when she was, as we talked about, having the conversation with Vision about her brother dying, or it was...
your question?
What did you think about the show going back? Fourth penultimate.
I think it was
as opposed
good,
to it's
because I would
going
not
forward.
Have wanted a Wanda movie. I think that was their way of saying people don't really know enough about Wanda. They don't know her backstory, but we got a backstory to Iron Man. We got a backstory to Captain America. We got a backstory to all these people, mm-hmm. but we didn't get a Wanda backstory. Are we going to get a Wanda backstory movie?
I mean, we did kind of get a backstory, but nothing great. I mean, again, it was an Avengers Age of Ultron.
It was
Ultron.
A blip. Okay, it was a blip that I don't even care about.
Yes.
And they said, do we want a Wanda movie? And everyone said, no. And they said, how about we just do this?
What do you think about that, though?
And it worked.
What do you think? Yeah. What do you think about the idea of more television shows as opposed to films? Here's a larger question. The MCU so far has been comprised of just films, right? Now, if somebody wants to continue going on with the MCU, they have to have Disney Plus. They have to have it in order to keep going with that story. Is that something that you think is a positive thing, or do you think that's a negative thing?
I think it's positive.
Why do you think it's positive?
It's more content. It's more fun because it's like a weekly thing. So for someone like me or you or a lot of members of our community, we like to kind of be able to chat a bit about it.
Sure.
Digest it all. I also think, sadly, that movie theaters are going to become a thing of the past. You've been saying this now for decades. I think the pandemic is just going to be a major catalyst for tons of our theaters shutting down. And yes. I think that there will still be momentous occasions where you will want to go to a theater for an occasion here or there. But now that Disney owns Marvel and Star Wars and all this stuff, let's be real. Let's be real. They want you to pay $30 or whatever it is to watch Raya and the Last Dragon.
Yeah, because it goes right to them.
While you're already paying $15 to have Disney Plus. This is the way it'll be. This is the way.
This is the way.
Yeah. Mandalorian friends.
Nerd!
This is the way. And I'm down for it. I'm already paying, okay? I don't want to have to leave my house. I don't want to have to just sit there for 2 hours and say, what the heck was that? I want to have a half hour, digest it, look at you and say, what the heck was that?
Yep.
We can replay it. Doesn't that suck? Like, I remember going to Star Wars, and each time I'd go, I'd figure more things out. The last one.
What, like the Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah. I'd see some more things. And each time I'm saying, I'm spending $16 to be here. Each time. I saw it 3 times in the movie theater.
That's true. That's a good point. Actually,
that's a hell of a lot of money.
The first time we took our kids.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of money.
So we probably spent like $200 to go see the Rise of Skywalker.
Probably
with all the popcorn,
oh,
the soda.
Good point. Okay. Yep, yep.
When I could just spend, when we watch Obi-Wan Kenobi, I'll just keep spending my $14 for Disney Plus. So
that's true.
I'm down.
I will say that I think there is, I mean, this is a whole nother conversation, but I have to address it. Only because I love going to the movie theater. I think it's a magical place.
I do love going to the movie theater. I'm saying that from the movie people perspective, from Disney's perspective, this is where the money's at.
I don't know. I really don't know. Are you going to, you know, The Rise of Skywalker made, you know, $1.5 billion. Are you going to make $1.5 billion off of Disney Plus? You know, like, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to.
Was that net?
No, total. It was total.
See, it's not real.
Well, net would include marketing costs. You know, net would include
all. But think about it. With their own network, they don't have to pay marketing costs.
Well, they still have to pay marketing. They still have to advertise. All right. Well, we're getting off track.
I like going to the movie theater, too. I like getting out of my house. I like having the popcorn that, like, is old, but it just tastes so good because there's, like, butter on it from 15 years ago. I'm down, but I'm just saying I don't think it's going to be happening that much more.
Do you feel like this would have worked better at WandaVision as a film, or did you like it as a television show?
I liked it as a television show.
Why did you like it better as a television show as opposed to a film?
I would have left this film being like, I don't care about anybody. I'm glad everyone died.
Well, you kind of said that about the show, too.
I know, but at least I wouldn't have felt like I wasted my money because I enjoyed it, but it would have just been like too much at once, flip-flopping through the different eras, and I liked this because I was able to digest it and enjoy the artistry of
sure.
the show. Episode by episode. It's not that it was a bad show. It's just, it was a 3.95.
Yeah, it was. I remember when we watched the first two episodes, we were like, okay, we watched them. And I remember you turned to me and I turned to you. And we said, okay, well, that is...
Everybody else did that. Everybody else probably sat there being like, what was that?
Right.
But... that's the cool thing by it being a TV show,
right?
Is that everyone had a week to say, what was that?
Yeah, and you get a chance to sit down and discuss it. And, you know, as, you know, a community of nerds, we can get to look into these television commercials that they're putting on, the faux commercials, and looking at all, you know, the Stryker watches or the Stark toaster or those things. What did you think about those? Like, what did you think about the commercial breaks that were built into the show? Do you think they added to the experience or did they take away from it? Were you confused by them?
I didn't care.
You didn't care?
No.
Didn't care one ounce?
Not at all. Blake would be like, oh my God, cool. And I'm like.
Wait, what would I do?
Oh my God, cool. Oh my gosh, did you see the logo on side on that helicopter? No.
No, I didn't.
But the helicopter was colorful. Like this is the difference. You're a hardcore MCU fan.
Yes.
I have watched everything.
Yes.
I enjoy it.
So here's the best question then. As
I feel like I'm not supposed to be on this podcast.
No, right you now. Are. I definitely want you to be on this podcast. As an MCU fan, but not someone who is fully invested like me or probably many of the listeners or some of the people that are watching us live right now. What was the part that sung to you the most? Like for the story and like what
when
was
Wanda
it?
Created it all.
Yeah.
That moment where she just stood there and braced herself and just like screamed,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of the trials and all of the despair that she had where she, it seemed to be that she wasn't even cognizant of what she was creating.
Yeah, right.
You know, it was just her brain took over her, like defensive reflexes
sure.
of her magical brain just took over and That was the big moment for me.
Yep.
And then seeing Vision be formed from her, you know, as like kind of that last thing. It's that was beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. The best character for you. I know you said you didn't really connect with a whole ton of people. Who did you connect with at the very least?
Like, who did I like or who did I connect
with? Well, you give me your best fitting
answer. I really liked Agatha. I thought she was super fun when she did that little switch.
Yeah, what'd you think of the Salem witch trials aspect of it? When they go back and they're like, her mother's putting her on trial and she...
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I'm down with the witches.
Do you find that it took away from the story at all? Or did you find that it went right along with it?
It was fine for me because it's a different superhero type thing, the fact that it is a witch. So I just kind of liked that rather than it being the typical Marvel superhero stuff. It kind of had to be grounded that this is different.
Right.
This is a different superpower. So I was okay with it.
So Agatha is your best character from the show?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. For me, I would say, man, I really like Wanda. I know that's such a cop out to say.
It's not.
But what Wanda has gone through, mm-hmm. and the power that Elizabeth Olsen brings to that role, there's a moment in Avengers: Age of Ultron that I really loved when, you know, Hawkeye's talking to Wanda and he's like, "Okay, the city is flying. The city is flying, and I don't care if you stay here. If you do, I'll send your brother. We'll be fine. It'll be cool. But if you walk outside, you're an Avenger. Like, just so you know, I don't care what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter to me. But if you walk out, you're an Avenger." And there's just this moment when the doors fly open and Wanda just obliterates everybody around her, and it's just, she just has this one movement with her hand and you just see it on her face, and like something like this where we're in a watching in our studio right now on our screen. Wanda is a badass.
She's quite complex.
She is. And I love me some like disturbed, mentally ill people.
Yes, you do. I'm like, I don't want to be left alone with this person. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Allie says, I feel like we won't get the full impact of this series until later movies when Wanda is completely unleashed. Do you look forward now? Here's a question for you, Mary. Do you look forward now to seeing Wanda in future films?
I like grown-up Wanda a lot more than teenager Wanda.
Yeah.
She was just a flat character for quite some time. I mean, obviously she was emotionally disturbed and she had been going through all these different experiments and stuff, so you can't blame her. But she just kind of reminded me of the like creepy kid from the Ring. You know, like, I don't really want to hang out with her. Now I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay to hang out with her a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see her do something nice for somebody.
What do you mean?
I don't... I mean, I just don't really trust her. And because she doesn't really have any friends or any... Like, nobody's checked up on her. Nobody from the Avengers was like, we need to check up on Wanda.
Right? And this, like... And I think one of the undervalued parts of this show is the Avengers kind of just...
You're just a bunch of bros who don't realize mental health really takes a toll on people. You need to, like, be friends.
They just kind of dropped the ball on this and on Wanda.
Who do you think
and
would have checked up on her? She was just the weird girl, the Ring. I mean, if anything, maybe it would have been the Hulk, Bruce Banner. Maybe he would have said something.
Yeah, maybe.
But he's dealing with his own stuff.
I would have said Captain America, but he's not along. He's not around anymore.
He's dead. It would have been
Captain
America.
Well, he's not dead. He's old.
Well, pretty much.
He might as well be dead. He's old. I would have said Tony, but he is dead.
Yeah.
Maybe Pepper? Pepper Potts? Like, maybe she checks in, but you know, once Tony died, then she's checked out. She don't care no more.
No.
Maybe you're right, Mary. Like, who is going to have the mental wherewithal to check? I would have said Black Widow. #dead. So
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who would have checked in on her. I don't know.
That fell through the cracks.
It did fall through the cracks. I will give you that. Worst character for you, Mary. Worst one.
You can go first.
I might get crucified for this. I did not like Monica.
Monica was the lady that was blipped, came back. Her mom was dead. Yes. She kept, guess what?
What? All right.
My worst as well.
There's the obvious candidates like Tyler Hayward, the boss of S.W.O.R.D., you know, the guy who was ultimately
I'm a bad guy.
All he needed was a black leather jacket.
Mary and I have a rule. It's something that we've noticed in television. If you wear a black leather jacket, you're a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And this all started with Battlestar Galactica. And we've noticed a trend over the years. He's obviously a terrible character. Like, not even like, oh, I'm the bad guy, but like just written horribly and, written in a way that is just uninteresting. And I kind of think Monica is an interesting character, especially with her newfound powers that she, gets.
We'll flesh her out more, but we don't understand her severe drive. Even though we understand that it was her mom's, mission to go through with this company, and now her mom's gone, and she too has all this emotional turmoil. You couldn't really understand or appreciate her yet.
Yeah.
And she's doing a lot of extreme stuff.
But just the way that she's written, like, she shows up and the plot, she does what the plot needs her to do, and that's that. And like, she does get these powers because she goes into the hex and it rewrites her DNA or whatever.
It's almost like I would have liked some of that other trio to have tried to go through it. And even though they couldn't, though, because she had already been in it,
right.
That's why she was able to go back and forth. But I don't think I fully grasped her motives, aside from them just being flat and seen as what they're giving us.
Yes. She does what the plot needs her to do. Mm-hmm. Rebecca here actually brings up a great point. She says that Hawkeye was a friend to Wanda. Mm-hmm. Maybe he would have done it. Yeah, I agree. But, his family just came back from, being dusted. He's probably spending all of his time with his family.
Oh, he's dealing with his own.
He's got his own stuff going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think
S.H.I.E.L.D. needed like a division of therapists for all of these people.
A whole division of therapists. Therapists.
I'm not joking.
For her
I'm
therapists after yes. they have the therapy session. I agree.
So
I agree.
Sad.
What do you think of Allie asks here, what are you, we love Jimmy though. Jimmy Woo.
100%.
I liked him as a character too. I thought there was, he had some funny little quips in there. Though, again, the way that he is treated at the end of the season was he needs to escape from his captors. So he finds a safety pin, then picks the lock of the handcuffs, and he's just given these abilities because the plot needs him to have these abilities.
He's tricksy. Remember he did that fun thing with his hand in the card?
Yeah, but yeah.
I think he has like a little toolkit of tricksies.
Weak sauce. Weak sauce. That's what that is. Weak sauce writing. So I would say Monica is probably the worst character. Here's a big question for you, Mary. The inclusion of Pietro. And I remember when we watched it, we were in bed. And we showed up and we were watching it on the iPad, as a matter of fact.
Makes me think of the fortune-telling things, the Chinese fortune-teller cookies?
No.
Where you always add in bed? I remember when we were watching it.
In bed.
In bed.
The way you just added it on there.
No, we were in bed we were about to go to sleep, but we were like, oh, we got to watch WandaVision. So we watched it. And at the end of the episode, there's Pietro, but it ain't Aaron Taylor Johnson. It's Evan Peters. And I in bed, freaked out, and I didn't sleep all night because of it. I know it did not have any of the meaning to you whatsoever that it did to me. But what were your thoughts on that? Did you find, because you do know the backstory, we did talk about it, how it's Fox and Disney and the whole thing. Did you find Evan Peters' inclusion as like stunt casting? Like it was not worth it or was worth it.
So as a casual viewer of the MCU universe who has watched everything.
Yes.
At least once, sometimes even more. Had you told me that was the original guy, I would have believed you. And then she was like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm here, honey. Had I not been sitting next to Blake, had I just been watching this by myself or with another casual MCU universe friend?
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh yeah, it's her brother.
Oh yeah, cool. All right.
Thought he was dead.
All right.
I would not have been like, it's the X-Men guy who has the same abilities. That's cool. No. I didn't notice. Sorry, Blake. No, is that not the answer you wanted?
No, that absolutely is the answer that I wanted. Because
here's Blake who can't sleep all night. And I'm just like, oh, cool. Our brother's here.
Best moment for you in the whole show. What was the thing when you think about it? When you think of this show, when you think of WandaVision, what is the moment that pops into your brain?
When it was Agatha all along, and she even has the dog in her arms.
Oh, and I killed Sparky too.
Between that and, as I said, the moment where Wanda just loses it in her grief.
Yeah.
And the explode, like, right before all this, when she really starts to create everything.
Yeah.
This and then the Agatha moment. Those are the two things that really, really stand out for me.
Yep. For me,
because I'm a sucker for a good villain song.
Good point.
The villains get the best songs.
They do all the time.
Like literally, when you look at Beauty and the Beast, it is not Mrs. Potts' Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-mm.
It is Gaston.
Yep.
Kill the Beast.
Of course. Aaron Burr in Hamilton.
Yes.
He gets the best songs.
Yes.
Scar in Lion King. Best song by far.
By far.
Like not even close.
Oh, it's so good.
And okay, fair enough. For me, I think the best scene, the thing I think most of when I think of WandaVision, it would probably be her saying goodbye to her kids. I really liked that scene. I liked that moment.
Broke down.
I did. I really did. And I also really liked the conversation between Vision and Wanda in the flashback when Agatha is taking her through all of her
that
trauma.
That was beautiful.
That was one of those moments where you, because not only does it enlighten the previous movies and it recontextualizes them for you, like you understand. Okay, I can kind of see why in Civil War these two got together now.
Yes.
Like, because again, in the film, it just happens for the sake of happening, right? Mm-hmm. But it really, because it enlightens the previous films, it also enlightens the characters as they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
It worked so well. That penultimate episode was really beautiful. Really, truly
Agreed.
Excellent. We have some listener questions
okay.
here, Mary, aside from the ones that have been coming into us here over the...
So for friends who are watching live, if you would like your question possibly read or your input read on the podcast, what kind of an emoji would you like them to start it off with?
A stone. You know how they have like the little gems? Give me a yellow gem.
Oh, like a yellow diamond?
Yeah, like a yellow diamond.
I think if you write yellow diamond, it turns into an emoji. Let's
sure.
see. Nope.
Well, there's a yellow diamond in there. There's a yellow gem. There's a yellow something. So whatever it is for the Mind Stone. Okay. Let's see. Allie says, oh, when Wanda's saying, I can't feel you to Vision when he's on the table. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Tina says, but what is grief if not love persevering? That's mm-hmm. my magic moment. Mm-hmm. Yes, Tina, absolutely. Rebecca says, love that cute scene between Wanda and Vision when they were when they were first friends. Vision is so cute. Vision is cute.
He sure
like,
is.
His fight with himself as White Vision. Before we get into the listener questions, I have to ask you about
okay.
White Vision.
Okay.
Your thoughts on White Vision versus fake Vision, who I decided to call Fission.
Oh, okay.
White Vision versus Fission. What were your thoughts on that? And including a philosophical argument, the most Vision thing that has ever been in this world about the ship of Theseus. What was your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that final battle moment between the two?
I knew that Fission was going to win.
Yes. But he didn't necessarily win. He just outsmarted himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is quite incredible, because if you think about it, Vision was just a made-up Vision.
Yes.
Who really shouldn't have been able to outsmart the real Vision.
Yeah, but the real Vision, White Vision, right, is his whole memory was wiped. Everything was wiped.
Okay.
He was a blank slate. He was, as he says, a weapon to be easily controlled at that point by Sword.
It's like when you get a refurbished computer. You're like, is it as good? They say it's better.
Yeah, is it really that?
Are you going to question every time you turn it on? It kind of takes a little while with the spinning rainbow of death.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so let's get to some listener questions. Jessica Lepore says, I think most of us MCU nerds went into WandaVision with the assumption that this was a one-off series. However, there are whispers of a second season. Do you think, one, they should and could, and two, if they did make a second season, what could it be about? Well, I'm not going to say what it could be about, because I don't want to spoil anything.
How could you spoil?
Because it would be comic based.
Okay.
And I don't know, and because of that, I don't know the roads that the MCU is going down.
Roads.
Where we're going. We don't need roads. I don't know in the future movies, even outside of Wanda. Because what Wanda does, especially with like a storyline like the House of M, where she rearranges reality and the whole thing.
In the comic books.
Okay. That has a huge impact on Marvel writ large. Yeah, writ large. And how...
What language is that?
it's English.
Writ.
Yeah, like overall, it has a major impact on the whole story of Marvel. As it continues. And I don't want to spoil anything in that regard. So, Marvin, your thoughts on whether or not they should or could do a second season? Should they do a second season of WandaVision?
Can it even still be called WandaVision? Because I don't think so.
It could, because White Vision now exists.
But the whole thing with WandaVision is that it's like television shows. Don't you wish you were in the room when someone came up with that idea?
You know,
when they were like, television, WandaVision. Guys, WandaVision. What if it was like a TV show? But it was like WandaVision.
And it's Wanda's vision of...
But she makes them into TV shows. Different TV. Like, that moment must have been so cool.
I remember when they announced WandaVision, like the title of... the show, and there was no promo, there was no trailer. It was just you found out the name of the show, and it was WandaVision. And I was like, what the F is that? Yeah. That is the worst name ever. WandaVision.
Mary Blake.
Yeah, like Mary Blake. That's what it would have been. Mary Blake. But when you get the context of it and you understand, it actually makes perfect sense.
It's amazing.
And it's amazing.
But I just don't know, because it won't be in the same television show format. It would, in my mind, it would have to be a different name.
Yes, it probably would have to be a different name. It would have
Wanda
to be
an Unleashed.
Wanda, something along those lines.
Maybe Scarlet Witch.
Rachel asks, would you have been on board for Evan Peters being the X-Men universe version of Quicksilver instead of some random boner guy? Because in the show, you find out that his name is Ralph Boner or whatever his name was. And
poor thing.
He's just an actor. And it's not necessarily Quicksilver from the X-Men universe. It's just some guy who's
I loved that it wasn't him, because it made nerds like you.
Yeah, I flip out.
Ooh, right. Yeah, mind blown.
And the fact is, like, for nerds like me who understand the stupid stats of a nerds things about all of this stuff, you know that having Evan Peters from the X-Men universe is something that was an impossibility. Even if it was just a fake Ralph Boner guy, the fact still remains that Evan Peters was in an MCU show as Pietro. Like, that is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So is it disingenuous to me? Was it a fake out? Was it stunt casting? Yes. But I enjoyed the ride. And I enjoyed the fact that even though it wasn't truly Quicksilver, it wasn't Peter from the X-Men universe, it still opens up the possibility of people from the X-Men universe appearing in the MCU universe. Because it happened. Like, Evan Peters was there. That he showed up. I think that's really cool. I think that's like, that's a nerd thing that I can't get enough of.
And then a basic MCU occasional watcher didn't notice.
Let's see. Priscilla asks, will Monica play a bigger role in the MCU? I feel we didn't get much from her in the character in the end. She got her powers. Great. But
she
now
will
what?
Be fleshed out and we will she care will. About Monica a lot more.
Yes, they are going to be investing a lot of time in Monica. She will be starring in Captain Marvel 2.
I'm down
to find out more about her, even though she was the worst character for me.
And it
but
wasn't
it wasn't her fault.
It was
not her
the
fault.
The actress. It, yeah. And there was no room. I think they had to make this choice. I think they had to sacrifice our time with Monica and our depth with Monica. I mean, these episodes were a half hour long.
Right. And they had to focus on Wanda and
yes.
Vision. I mean,
yes.
You know, Monica is just, she's a bit player in this show. Let's see. Tina asks, would you consider backtracking some more of the Marvel movie commentary, and do you have any suggestions for other places where you can go? Yes, there are tons of Marvel podcasts. Please go listen to them, and they will give you all the information that you ever desire about any of the MCU films. All whole bunch of nerds who are doing the fun things for Marvel. Yes, please go do that. Will we backtrack to other Marvel films? Yes, if we get a certain amount of members at the Nerd Clan.
Oh.
Yes.
Because you're now starting The Winter Soldier.
Yes.
So you're already going to be doing some MCU stuff.
But will Mary and I do commentary or shows for previous Marvel films? We will if we get a certain amount of members at jointhenerdclan.com.
Okay, so stay tuned.
So stay tuned to that. I haven't figured out the number yet, but if we get there, then we'll do it.
Just not during Outlander season.
Not during Outlander
season.
That is
sacred time.
Yes, it is.
Sacred time.
Laura asks, I was super confused by the scene at the end of the credits. I thought maybe none of it happened, or at least not as we thought, and she was there the whole time, and or maybe she was turning very dark. Wanda, you know, in the mountains, in the cabin, sipping coffee, and there were two versions of her, one sipping the coffee, and then one floating in midair in her Scarlet Witch costume, flipping through the Darkhold.
That's like my dream. Like, have one of me clean, do errands and stuff, and the other one just read books and drink tea.
So, no, it all happened. It, like Lost, it all happened. What you saw was real. And what you saw was an evolution for Wanda. She, like Doctor Strange, can separate herself from her astral self. And she...
What? Astral?
Astral, yes. Like her... The
brain?
The universe of herself. She could split herself like a different version of herself into the universe.
Okay.
Like... You know, like a spirit, if you will. And there, she can have, because she is even more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme, who is Doctor Strange, she can do the things that he can do. So no, it all happened. And are things going to get dark for Wanda? Yes. Yes, things are going to get very dark for Wanda. I'm not going to spoil anything, but if you've read The House of M... obviously, since you're asking this question, you haven't. But if you've read The House of M, you know things do get dark. As a matter of fact, I would not be surprised if Wanda is the villain in the new Doctor Strange film.
That'd be cool.
I would be really down for that.
Me too.
I would think that would be awesome.
Oh my gosh, and then Benedict could team up with Agatha?
Right?
Sign me up. Sign me up. I like that I call him Benedict and not Doctor Strange.
I know. Sharon asks, the one unanswered question I have is, what happened to White Vision? He just flew away. I actually had to rewind and rewatch because I couldn't remember. And didn't Fission unlock his memories? He may not remember Westview, but he should remember his relationship with Wanda prior to Westview if he has pre-snap memories. Why wouldn't he seek Wanda out? Well, again... I'm not going to spoil anything, but there, yes, you are right, Sharon. He should remember his relationship with Wanda. He flies and freaks out and just takes off and declares, I am Vision, and takes off. I think because that's what the plot needed him to do. because you can't have white Vision running around when.
Why not?
Because you have to have an emotional moment
I
between.
Love her. No, I love her. No, yeah, I love
you
her.
You have to have an emotional moment between Fission and Wanda.
Okay.
And having white Vision just lurking in the background, just waiting for
it would
his.
It'd be just like when Agatha said, "Oh, it's your ex," and yeah.
Right. You can't. It's that. That's awkward. You can, he's got to. He's got to.
Yeah.
F off for a little bit, and he'll be fine.
Okay.
So that's probably why they had him take off. He will have to remember Wanda. There are some things they're going to have to confront. So that will be coming. Shaylin says, I really enjoyed the whole series. I will admit I didn't love the first few episodes, but they were so obviously well made, I didn't feel super attached to the show. However, as we got further into it, I became more invested, you know, like Darcy and Jimmy Woo, and was bawling during the last episode. Both Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen were amazing when they said goodbye to their children and to each other.
Yeah.
And since I don't have much comic book knowledge, I wasn't let down by not having appearances by certain characters, and I feel like it helped me love the show for what it was, a woman dealing with her grief in the most crazy of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, as someone unburdened and untethered by all of the nerdy comic book stuff, are you happy they didn't have all these different cameos? They didn't have what the MCU is kind of guilty of doing, you know, bringing in the next big thing, bringing in the next big person to carry the story forward. Are you happy that they just kept it to what it was? They kept it to a story of grief.
I am. And on women, you know, and how obviously women can't do this when they have their grief, but.
Well, but yes, some can. I mean, I think of Claire in Outlander. Now, again, this is fictional, but like Claire, season 5, disassociates herself and she has her own world.
I mean, I wonder though, I don't think that that's a particular like woman thing is what I'm saying, but.
Oh, okay.
You know, like I think. Anyone could do that necessarily. Not anyone, but I think a lot of people could do that. So I'm not saying that that's necessarily women. I don't know. I enjoyed being with these characters because as the MCU just as a whole, it's just this super masculine man, like stereotypical superhero thing. And it was just really nice to see a more feminine side that is really strong and really full of emotion when you just kind of get these static, I'm Iron Man, I'm a badass, I, you know, do this or do that. You know, Wanda is incredibly complex.
Sure, sure.
So I enjoyed it.
Ali asks, was WandaVision what you expected? Do you feel we needed almost 6 hours of television to tell this story? I don't think we did. And while I don't think it was a waste of time, I do feel it was an indulgence. Marvin, was WandaVision an indulgence on the behalf of the MCU? Did you need 6 hours to tell this story?
I did.
Including the first two episodes. And,
yeah, I needed 6 hours because I needed those first two episodes of going, huh? What's going on? I needed those first two episodes. So I had 2 weeks of scratching my head saying, why is Blake making me watch this really weird show? He's getting excited about TV commercials. He's getting excited about all these like little things that I don't even know what it means. And then it slowly started to be something that even a casual MCU watcher like myself could understand.
When you said, huh? All I could think of is Danny DeVito now and Jumanji, welcome to the next level.
Such a good movie.
We just got done watching that with our children. So, huh?
The new Jumanji is so good.
We're in a game? Rebecca asks, do you think we'll see their boys in the Doctor Strange sequel? Ooh. She did hear them. Yes, we did, in fact, hear her boys as she's flipping through the Darkhold. Their voices did come through. Mm.
I'd like that.
I've read that they are going to be in the next film. I don't know in what capacity, and I don't know if it's just going to be voice or whatever, but I've read that they're going to be in the next film.
Cool.
They could be cut. Who knows? But is it a preamble to what's going to be happening in Doctor Strange? Yes, I think so.
Cool.
Tina asks, do you think the rumored Benedict Cumberbatch cameo would have made things a little bit better at the end? No, I don't think so. And what's your reaction to Paul Bettany's fake-out comment about working with someone he's always wanted to work with, which it turned out to be himself? Paul Bettany, at the beginning of the promotion for WandaVision.
I don't know who Paul Bettany is.
Vision.
Okay.
Said, hey, there's going to be this person, like an MCU veteran, that I'm going to be working with. Nobody knows about who it is. It's a secret. And I can't wait for you guys to see it. And it, he was ended up just trolling everybody and during the promotion, because the person he was talking about was himself. The fact is he has to act opposite himself as Fission and White Vision.
Okay.
I thought that was really funny. I thought that was really funny. If you are someone who follows those things, that means you're super into it.
Okay.
And you should get the joke. And I appreciate that. And as someone who is just casual viewer, like you, Mary, you don't even know about it. Allie asks, do you think WandaVision suffered a little bit from not having the power of a decent Avengers guest star? Does it make it too isolated from the other movies and stories? Mary, what do you think?
I mean, I'm down with it because it's just so different. And as I said, I think the MCU has just really suffered from this stereotypical masculine man copy that they've been making. So I just like that it broke the mold.
Yeah, I do too. I like that it stayed within itself. It had a story in mind and it told that story. Mm. I don't need a huge cameo to legitimize the story that it's telling.
Yeah.
I need Wanda to legitimize the story that it's telling. If the other series remains as detached as WandaVision, the next big story push will be Spider-Man. Are we freaking out about the multiverse?
I am.
Yes. The multiverse is a big deal. And what will be happening at Spider-Man is all of these realities will start to combine because we're seeing other characters from other Spider-Man films that are not related to the MCU coming into the Spider-Man films. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. Let's see. I think that is it. That is the last of our questions here on the live. Let me just check one other thing. Yeah, no, we're good. Marvin, you got anything else you want to say? We are 1 hour 6 into this bad boy. So I think we're good as we sneeze. Atta girl. God bless you.
Thank you.
Live podcasting, ladies and gents. Anything else you want to say about this? Any final thoughts about WandaVision or what you liked about it, what you didn't like?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
I just don't care about anybody that much.
And this is good to know because we need to know, I think, it's important to know for casual MCU fans who are watching this saying, okay, what?
I don't think I'll ever need to watch it again.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I can
see. And to get in that higher 4 range, that's kind of, I like this more than I like The Mandalorian.
Yes. Okay. I'll give you that one. I will definitely give you that one. Like I enjoy them, but nowhere near what I enjoy.
I am more emotionally attached to these characters than I am in The Mandalorian.
All right. You ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
Let's do it. Well, Mary, thank you so much for taking the time, an hour out of your very busy schedule, to join us.
I mean, there's
MCU.
So many places to go right now and things to do.
I really do appreciate it, and I'm sure that all the listeners and people who are watching us live right now do appreciate you taking time to to chat about WandaVision and your experience with it.
Okay.
Of course, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the MCU Diaries and taking the time to listen to us and have us in your earbuds for this entire hour. And for all of the hours that you've spent with us listening to the MCU Diaries and all the hours that you will spend with us listening to the MCU Diaries. Because as we noted before, we are moving on to The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Perhaps, maybe I can convince my wife to watch it with me tonight.
Blake, you're literally the only adult I ever get to see. Of course.
Yes, that's my girl. That's my girl.
Mary, do you want to do something? Yes. A real life human?
Anything. Okay, so thank you so much. Go to jointhenerdclan.com.
After we watch Servant.
That's true. We got to watch Servant. Servant's great, by the way. So go to jointhenerdclan.com. And if you want more stuff of the MCU and us to go back and look at all the MCU films, we're going to need to reach a certain number at jointhenerdclan.com. But we're going to have to figure that out.
Let's figure that out in a little bit.
We're going to do that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. As for now, I'm Blake.
I'm Mary.
And we'll see you next episode.